Now, we spotted an article in The Guardian. We said we had to get the man on the show. It was about a musician and broadcaster from England called Billy Reeves. And Billy was in a pretty brutal car accident that left him with severe memory loss. And the amnesia was so severe that he had actually forgotten he'd written and recorded the bones of an album before the crash. He says it's like the album was written by a ghost, but he's ready to release it now. And Billy Reeves is on the line from his home. How are you, Billy? What a remarkable story.
Well, thanks for having me on. I guess if you're doing a record, you have to think of different ways to promote it. So triumph over tragedy in The Guardian.
Well, listen, anyone who's lived or worked or commuted in London who may be listening now will know your voice because you do the traffic reports on BBC Radio London.
I do, Billy Reeves, BBC Radio London, your next update in half an hour. I do your traffic and travel and I follow Brentford around. So I've got a great, I've had a great football story with them going up from the fourth division to the Premier League. But it was BBC London that after my car accident, it was them that encouraged me to go and do a postgrad and become a journalist. So I did production before. David, who I've just spoken to you, I've done that. We'll be with you in a minute. I've done all that. But then I kind of relaxed off a little bit and started doing stuff on air. So, yes, I've had my BBC training and I have a lazy S. So I must be really careful not to let myself down.
Not to let it slip. Take us back, Billy, to the days before the crash. How was life? What was life like before the accident? Like, what were you up to?
I was a PR for a little record company during that whole mad Britpop period in Camden Town.
Okay.
And after a few pints of Guinness in the Stamford Arms next to the Enemy and Melody Maker offices, I bet some of the journos that despite not being a musician or knowing how to play an instrument, I could get a record deal because it was mad. Off of the back of that Pulp and Oasis and Blur thing, everybody was signing bands that all sounded the same. And one of the journalists that bet me, he bumped into, was at a do, an Oasis do, the day after, and got speaking to a young woman called Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Yes.
Said, I know somebody who's forming a band. And Sophie came to the club I was DJing at the night after and said, is Paul Mather here? That was the journo. And she had a tape. And I thought, well, she looks great and she sounds really interesting. I didn't know about her mother, who was a big TV star back in the 80s. And so we formed the band around her. And so I won the bet. I got a record deal within 7 months. The audience didn't feel that was the band was called The Audience. I don't know what happened to the singer. Apparently, she became quite famous afterwards. But shortly after that, I got another record deal, did the same thing again to prove it wasn't a fluke. And that's where things start to get a bit hazy because in 2001, on the 1st of September, I got smashed up in a car crash, broke everything, was in a coma, and was pretty much out of it for a year, was in hospital for 4 months. So everything kind of is a little bit hazy, both sides of that. And that's where this album comes in because my brother gave me 2 mini discs that were in the car because apparently that was my hi-fi system in the car. It was a Morris Minor, and being hit at 99 miles an hour by Joyride is not a great idea.
Jesus.
In a Morris Minor. On one of the mini discs, there was all this material.
Okay, that you had no memory of. Well,
bring
us back. So you said you were in hospital for 4 months. You were in a coma. How long were you in the induced coma?
So I was in a coma for 2 weeks, which, if you do the maths, of course, means that I missed 9/11. That kind of happened to everybody in the world except me, and I didn't really know much about that until the 10th anniversary and all of the newspaper articles. I didn't know about the other 2 planes. I didn't know about the falling man or anything like that. It's almost like that happened to everybody except me. But one of the things that happened while I was in hospital is while I was in the coma, you know, you hear those stories of people being played a coma tape by their favourite pop star while they're in the Undertones did mine.
Okay.
Definitely helped. I was definitely saved by the Derry tones, indecipherable Derry tones of Michael Bradley.
Wow. And come here, what's your first memory after the accident?
That's a really good question because memories are kind of rehearsed thing. You have the experience and then you rehearse it in your brain afterwards. That's essentially what memory is, he said, psychology A level B. So I'm not actually 100% sure because there's kind of things that I've been told that happened to me. I think I remember them, like, you know, when you're told about things that happened to you as a child. And you think, is that an actual memory? Or was I told about that so many times, that cute thing that happened? I think it's when I moved hospitals, I had to learn how to walk again because I was so smashed up and I'd been horizontal for such a long time. I think My first memory is when I was taken outside the hospital by the physiotherapist for the first time, and I actually made it up the curb.
Wow.
So I managed to do my first step up the curb, and I remember thinking, this is actually good. But it also might be also when I'd moved hospital that I could hear screeching outside my window, which was the feral parakeet. That's why there's a parakeet on the front of the album. Might be that, because obviously oral and olfactory stuff are supposed to be the things you remember. But I can't remember any smells from the hospital, thank goodness. But I'm obviously hugely grateful to all the people that I don't remember that, that helped me survive operations on my leg and shoulder and all the rest of it. And all the kind of aftermath of that was something I could take control of. But at the time, of course, it was my family and friends that were going through the trauma and not me. I was so out of it.
You were so out of it, my God. Well, as you said, too many discs were found in your car that you had no recollection of.
Nope.
You're releasing it now. The band is called The Helicopter of the Holy Ghost and the album is called Afters. So let's have a listen to this track, which is called Slow Down.
Yes.
Slow down. Born with lust. Slow down sometimes.
Gorgeous.
Can I thank David, your producer, for editing in the hook rather than just playing the first 40 seconds? He knows what he's doing, that lad.
That is why we have him on the team. He is the best in the business.
I agree.
Kumira, what was it like listening very quickly to the songs that you'd written that you had... So you, literally, you had no recollection at all about
this. I think when you ask a songwriter about their music and they say, hey man, you've got to interpret it, this is literally the case in that, because I don't really know what on earth I'm going on about. And I think they were probably written for the band that I was in at the time, so a lot of them would have been written for a woman, which is why they're, and also they're quite melancholy and sad, and I don't know whether I'm sort of playing a character or I'm trying to have hits or what. So it's up to other people to interpret it, and that's actually quite interesting from a writer's point of view.
Absolutely. Listen, really interesting chatting to you today, Billy. Good luck with it, and I'd imagine it's very therapeutic releasing music like that as well. So that was Billy Reeves chatting to me today. Cormac is next on Drive Time. Have a great afternoon, and I will be back tomorrow. Go on, Kelly.
It's the Wee Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.